The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Jesus privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May you be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember sitting in the craft office of a surgeon, staring at outdated magazines, when he told me that I probably have cancer. I remember the night that one of my best friends from high school took his life with his father's shotgun. I remember living in Toronto, watching on the news as two planes flew into tall towers and our community filled up with stranded travelers, wondering if we were on the precipice of war. Through all these events, a stone of my personal temple crumbled. In our lives, we create strong temples. We create temples of invincibility. We create temples of intelligence. We create temples of vanity. We build strong rocks around ourselves. We immunize ourselves from the world. We think we are invincible. We think we are brilliant. We think we are handsome or beautiful or successful or well thought of. And we are scared to have our temples threatened. We are scared to know the truth of our lives. That our bodies are fragile, given to disease. That our world, filled with nuclear weapons and biological weapons, filled with terrorists and power seekers, is not safe. We realize that our friendships are tenuous at best. We realize that our lives will not go on forever. But of course, we try and block this out. We try and pretend that the world loves us. We try and pretend that we're always the smartest one in the room. We try and pretend that we're always healthy. We try to pretend that we're always getting better. We fool ourselves that we have skills that we don't possess, that we have knowledge that we do not know, that we have abilities that we have not utilized. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how strong we make the fortress around our lives, no matter how big we construct our own personal temple, we cannot keep the world out. We cannot live the always happy, the always pain-free, the always joyful and energetic existence. The truth of the matter is our temples come crashing down. We might run for school board council and not be elected. Maybe not everybody in North Salford likes me. Shocking. There's a crumble of a temple. Lose an election. Have the doctor tell you you're sick. Have a spouse tell you they want a divorce. Find drugs in your child's bedroom. Put on your old wedding dress. or tuxedo if you didn't rent it. And all of these things will bring down our temples of invincibility, our temples of likability, our temples of self-assuredness. They crack and they crumble and they are fragile. And no matter how strong we make them or how big we make them or what kind of moat we dig around them, the world will get through. And we will realize that we are not perfect. That we are in bondage to sin and our world is in bondage to sin. That we are fragile. That we are scared. That we can be lonely. That we can be depressed. That we can be sad. That we can be sick. Say in our gospel reading, Christ is sitting outside of the Jerusalem temple. This is Herod the Great's temple. They started constructing it in the year 2. So for about 25 years, this temple's been being built. It's huge. It's gold and silver and marble. It's made with blocks that are 30 feet long, 30 feet high, and 30 feet deep. These 30-foot cubes. And the disciples look at these and they think, nothing could ever happen to this temple. It's huge. They can't even imagine a structure this big. And Christ says, it will crumble. And they can't wrap their heads around how these huge stone boulders could crumble. And they ask Jesus, when will this come? And Christ changes things. He says, don't worry about the time or place. He says, worry about the people that think they have the answers. Worry about the people that tell you how to protect the temple, how to care for the temple, how to preserve the temple. These are the charlatans. These are the snake oil salesmen. These are the ones that we are to be on guard for, Jesus says. Whether they come and they're peddling religion, whether they're peddling self-help, whether they're peddling vitamins, whether they're peddling ironized bracelets, who knows? Christ says, be on guard and beware. It's always been good business. It's always been good business in the church to sell fear. It's always been good business in the corporate world to sell fear. To sell the fear of vanity, that your teeth aren't white enough, that your waist isn't slim enough, that your hair isn't blonde enough, you name it. If I can sell you on fear that you will not be liked, loved, accepted, invited to the dance, you name it, then I have you. In the church, if I can sell you on fear, the fear of the eternal flame, the fear of the worms gnashing their teeth, whatever it may be, then I have you. And to that Christ says, beware. There are no gatekeepers between man and God. This is the role of Jesus Christ. It is not my position in the church to sell you on fear. It is only my position in the church to tell you the reality of how things are. In this reading of Christ, it is called the Apocalypse of Jesus. And the word apocalypse means not the end of the world. The word apocalypse doesn't mean fire. It doesn't mean serpent. It doesn't mean war. The word apocalypse means revealed. As a minister, as a preacher, as a church, it is our job to reveal. To reveal the world without temples. To reveal the world as it is. To recognize the wrong and the bad, and to recognize the good and the holy, and to name them and to claim them. To tell people the truth. And no matter how big your personal temples are, sin has already affected them. You are not immortal. The things we build and buy and construct, the things we covet and love, like the temple of Jesus, will crumble. And what will be left, as it is today, God's Word, faith, hope, peace. These are the eternal gifts of God. These are the things that we are to cherish. This is the good news of the gospel. Because when our temples are threatened, when we create these fortress lives, Lies that try and keep out poverty and sickness. Lies that simply reflect back at us who we want to be. Lies that tell us we're smart and handsome and beautiful and strong and well-liked. Where the world simply holds a mirror to the lives we want to live. When those lies come crashing down, when those lies find themselves in the surgeon's office, when those lies find themselves in the courtroom, when those lies find themselves in an alcoholics meeting, when those lies find themselves at a funeral, that's where the gospel is to take hold. That's where the gospel, this word of Christ that we hear in today's reading, that we have been spared. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and floods and tornadoes and calamities and operations and AIDS and death and all these things, we as Christians have been spared. Not because we won't go through them, not because they won't threaten us, but because we will be victorious in the end. That we have been given new life through these things. The people that come and say, you won't have to go through these things. If you take my special pill, if you read my best-selling book, if you build a bomb shelter with my materials in your backyard, if you come to my church, whatever it may be, these are the ones Christ says worry about, because they are trying to make you escape the world. And the world is what it is. If we take seriously that the world is in bondage to sin, if we take seriously the idea that there will be wars and rumors of wars, that there will be earthquakes and plagues and diseases and epidemics and nation against nation, then how can we take seriously anybody that says, I can help you escape that? Because eventually it will end up at the doorstep of our temples. And they will be shattered. And they will be left in ruin. Because we have made ourselves the God of our own temple. We are the Holy of Holies. We are what the world comes to worship in our own minds. We are perfection incarnate. We are the Messiah. We are the lawmaker. We are the justifier. And we tell ourselves this sinful lie that we can define what is right and what is holy and what is good and what is charitable and what is worth working for and what is sanctified and you name it. We've become the God of our own temples. But when our temples are destroyed, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot liberate ourselves. We cannot give ourselves new life. And we are left naked, alone, without direction and without hope and without safety. But the good news of the gospel, when the wars and rumors of wars and floods and famines and earthquakes come, is that we're not responsible. We're not responsible for saving ourselves. We're not responsible for our salvation. God has taken care of that. Christ has paid the price. We are not our own God. And to me, this is freeing, this is liberating, this is hopeful. Because I know I can't save myself. Just as I can't operate on myself. Just as I can't do dentistry on myself, I cannot save myself. I have a Lord and Savior for that. And I can live in God's temple. A temple that is not threatened. A temple not filled out of stones or human objects. A temple without barbed wire and gated communities. But a temple of hope, peace, love, and faith. A temple that you are part of. A temple bigger than simply one man. A temple where I'm smart enough. A temple where I'm handsome enough. A temple where I'm slim enough. A temple where I'm good enough. A temple where I'm loved enough. A temple that accepts me unconditionally. Where I don't need to put on a charade or a facade, pretend to be something I'm not, because God knows me. God has sifted my heart. God has claimed me from the dawn of time. Whatever phrase you want to use. I cannot pretend to God I am more smart than I am. I cannot pretend to God that I'm more athletic than I am. I cannot pretend to God that I'm more rich than I am. I cannot pretend to God that I'm more handsome than I am. I cannot pretend to God that my marriage is better than it is, that my children are better than they are. You know why? Because God knows all these things. And when I am freed from having to live the sham of a life that's only goal is to protect and to populate itself onto others, I am free to live as I am. I am free to live out my gifts. I am free to accept my failings. I am free to recognize who I am, how I'm created, and what I can do, and what I should stay away from. I don't need to worry about lying. I don't need to worry about puffing my chest up. I don't need to worry about what you think of me. Come to think of it, I don't need to worry. And we seem to be a world with far too much worry. Amen.